Hey folks, Dan with Holy Spirit Soapbox. I hope you're doing well and are feeling the blessings of eternal life, hope in eternal life in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you've given your life to Christ today, if you have not, I highly suggest it. You have a God that's waiting for you and that loves you so much. So just give your life to Him and you will have eternal life. Today, I want to talk about smells. Yeah, smells with your nose, like smelly stuff, things that you can smell. I don't know how else to intro this, but we're going to talk about smells. Did you know that smell is the quickest way to trigger memories, both good and bad? Did you know that? Maybe you did. I know this has been going around for a while. According to Discovery.com, in an article posted a few years ago in 2020, it says hearing, touching, and tasting go straight to the thalamus in your brain, which triggers a memory. However, smelling is different. Now it goes on to say, sense bypass the thalamus and go straight to the brain's smell center known as the olfactory bulb. The olfactory bulb is directly connected to the amygdala and hippocampus, which might explain why the smell of something can so immediately trigger a detailed memory or even an intense emotion. How interesting and cool is that? I'm bringing this up because, is there a smell that brings you back to something? Hopefully something good. I know there are a lot of good smells and bad smells. For instance, I was outside in the fall this year, and I got this whiff of like a woody fall smell. Now, mind you, we live very far from where we grew up, okay? But that smell triggered something in my olfactory bulb, I guess, and it hit me, and it reminded me of home walking down like a sidewalk 25 or so years ago. How crazy is that? 2 decades ago, it brought me back there. And I got this comfort. And I was like, oh, this feels nice. I like this. I don't know what this smell is. I don't know if it was like wood burning or something like that. Now, we grew up more in the city. Now we're more in the country. But I'm like, I don't know what it was. But it felt so good. It was comforting. Now, there are really yucky smells, too, that bring me back to some not-so-fun memories as well. We don't have to go over those today. But the point here is that smell is so powerful. Now, Dan, why are we talking about smelly stuff today? Well, our bodies were so intricately and perfectly made. They were also created in the image of God, or Tselem Elohim in Hebrew, or Icon to Theo in Greek, or Imago Dei in Latin. All of those things mean the image of God. And God shares this with us, not in the flesh as we are though, but in the spirit. He shares this with us because He gave this blessing to us. If you are blessed enough to have a sense of smell, I pray you are. If you are not, you're not alone. You still have these other senses that God gave you that you are blessed with that you share with God. This is going to be more topical today because there are many verses throughout the Bible that talk about smells. Now, here we go. I'm going to start with Genesis chapter 8, verse 21. It tells us that God has this smell of a sweet aroma after Noah offers this incense or this altar burning. And then God promises to never curse the ground with a flood after the great flood covered the earth. In Exodus 30, it tells us that Aaron had to offer incense each morning and evening to God. The incense was created using specific types of plants and other specific smelling perfumes that were beautiful. In Isaiah chapter 1, verse 13, God tells Isaiah to tell the people their incense means nothing to him. That's like a negative smell. And then David has a psalm that talks about his prayer as an incense. And then in Revelation 5, 8, there were golden bowls filled with incense, which are prayers of God's people. Incense was offered in the temples as well when Zechariah was told he was going to have a child, John the Baptist, in Luke 1. So why all of this talk about aromas and incense? Well, first, when incense was burned in and around altars for worshiping, it was to remind us of worship. That smell, it's like around when we're about to worship, the time of day that we worship, be like, oh, that triggers something. It triggers to remind us of how God is awesome and how beautiful He is and that it's time to worship. I mean, we should be doing that all the time. But at that time when they were actually presenting and actually worshiping and actually doing those altar things, right? The fun stuff the priests were doing, it was a reminder. This was a sweet aroma, right? Something we can reflect on and remember as something great and holy and beautiful. It was also this reminder of what God has done for us and how amazing He is. So altars and incense pretty much go hand in hand. Altars were put up in the wilderness to remind people how God might have like rescued them or guided them. Think about like Cain and Abel, right? Or Noah, Abram, Moses, Jacob, Gideon, and more. There's so many of them. A bunch of them made altars for God to memorialize their time with God or their rescuing. Now, second, we did an episode called Why Did Jesus Have to Die, which was a great episode. Yeah, I pat my own back there. We pat our own back because we listened to the Spirit well on this one. We felt it was something really, really intense that if you have listened to this, re-listen to it. If you haven't, listen to it. It's called Why Did Jesus Have to Die? This is one of our earlier episodes. It explains the sacrifices that were made, like the altar sacrifices. It explains the coverings of man for our sins. And then it explains Jesus being the intercessor and the propitiation for all of us. He is the mediator. He is the one that covers all of our sins. Now, every year on the Day of Atonement, the high priest, this is prior to Jesus, and probably after when Jesus was born and stuff, but the Day of Atonement, the high priest would need to cover the altar of the tabernacle in blood so that all of the sins of Israel were cleansed. And I'm sure the altar was really gross because of all the sacrifices. Anyway, now you would sacrifice animals and you would burn them and that aroma would go up to heaven. That's why we say, oh, it stinks to high heaven, right? Or something smells good to high heaven, I guess. That's not really a term. But when we say, oh, it stinks to high heaven, that means it goes up so far. Like this stinks so bad that even God's like, oh my gosh, that's gross. So they had to burn these things on altars and sacrifice these animals. But now, as we know, Jesus covers all those sins of all man and women and children. And his sacrifice and his resurrection prove that. In Genesis 4, Cain's sacrifice to God was for self and not for God. We have to assume this. And we have to assume this because his was not acceptable versus his brother Abel's. Now, we know this, right? If you don't know Genesis 4, read it, of course. But in Genesis 4, Cain sacrifices or gives on an altar his fruits from the ground because he worked the fields, like he plowed and stuff, okay? Now, it was not acceptable versus Abel's sacrifice of what he gave to God. So I have to assume and speculate a little bit that he became jealous. We know this. Cain became jealous because God said that his sacrifice was not as good as Abel's. So he gets mad and he kills his brother, Abel. So apparently it's the case that those sacrifices that Cain made were in vain. The offering he had was not pleasing to the Lord because it was most likely given out of selfishness and not out of love for God. If he didn't offer up his first fruits, or his fruits of the soil that he gave were limited and for the benefit of himself or something, this was not for the love of or the appreciation for and the trust in God. Abel, his brother, on the other hand, did give fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock, which tells us he gave some more valuable portions. Now, animals were valuable. I mean, they still are today, but they were very valuable. They were like money. So he gave from his firstborn, his first fruits, he gave those fat portions to God. Now, I'm speculating, right, a little bit, but honestly, it sounds like Cain's offering was way more out of self or just having to do. I feel like I should just do this because I feel I need to do it. But either way, the point here is, ultimately, the aromas and incense were a way to show God where our hearts are. When we destroy first fruits, or give up first fruits, or animals, which were essentially money or valuable, or other things, it was not for self. This was all confirmed in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 to 17. And it says this. This is Paul writing a letter to the Corinthian church or Corinthian Christians. He says, "But thanks be to God who always leads us as captives in Christ's triumphal procession and uses us to spread the aroma of the knowledge of him everywhere. For we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one we are an aroma that brings death, to the other an aroma that brings life. And who is equal to such a task? Unlike so many, we do not peddle the word of God for profit. On the contrary, in Christ we speak before God with sincerity as those sent from God." Now, without going too deep into Paul's letters to the Church of Corinth, which was very, very messy, not Paul's letter, but the Church of Corinth was so messy and is very, very much like American Christian culture today, Paul is saying that Jesus and those who place their identity in Christ are the pleasing aroma to God. How many times did he say aroma in this? Jesus is the perfect sacrifice and perfect altar incense. In verse 15 that we just read, you see Paul saying that we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are perishing. Who's perishing? Those who are not in Christ. Those who do not set their identities in Christ. Those who do not follow Christ are perishing. But we are a pleasing aroma of Christ to those. And then in 16, one aroma brings life, the other brings death. Which brings life? What aroma? Jesus, that aroma, that altar sacrifice, that altar incense. The other brings death, destruction. Those altar incenses that we just do for fun or to think because we have to do it or do it out of rituals. And I'm not talking about actual altar and sacrifice. I'm talking about doing. I'm talking about even if you claim to be a Christ follower and you just continuously do and not be in Christ and you just do and you don't know why you do those hand signals or maybe certain things or certain foods you don't eat or et cetera, et cetera. Those stink to high heaven. They stink. When we follow Christ, firmly setting our faith in Jesus' death to pay for our sins and resurrection to conquer death, you know, the gospel, it is a perfect smelling altar aroma to God and to others, as Paul says. It brings life and rejuvenation to the world. The opposite brings death. It stinks. It stinks to God. Now, this is not saying that God's just going around sniffing things and sniffing people or whatever. He's not a creep, okay? God is loving. He's not just like, oh, that smells. Oh, that one smells good. Oh, I like that. Is that frankincense? What is that? No, that's not what he's doing. And that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that when we do these things for God, are we doing them for God? Out of love, out of heart, out of because I'm just being in Christ and it's just doing. Or am I just doing because I just think I should do it? Or am I just way away from God and I don't even care and I'm just doing everything in vain? All those things stink. I'm sorry. They stink. Let's go back to Revelation 5. I mentioned 5:8 earlier, but I'm going to do Revelation chapter 5, verses 4 through 8. It reads this. "I wept and wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll or look inside. Then one of the elders said to me, 'Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals.'" Verse 6, "Then I saw a lamb, looking as if it had been slain, standing at the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. The lamb had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. He went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of God's people." Notice, first of all, triumph or triumphant in 2 Corinthians 2:14, and then in Revelation 5:5. Triumphant. Jesus is triumphant. He won everything. He won the game. But notice in 5:8, the golden bowls full of incense are prayers of God's people, where people actually means hagion. That is the word in Greek. Hagion, which means saints. In saints, this same word, hagion, is used many times by Paul referring to just Christ followers. Guess what? You're a saint. How cool is that? We no longer have to sacrifice at the altar for our sins now that we are in Christ. Our identities are in Christ. The identity in Christ is enough. The prayers are heard. And God, knowing our hearts, are led by our identities in Christ, loves the aroma and the prayers delivered to him. Because he knows that's straight from love, from your identity, from being and represented by Jesus. That is what is pleasing of an aroma to God. When you follow Christ, he's like, oh, good. He got it. She got it. Great. She or he knows. Follow me. Put your identity in me. And that is so pleasing to me because it's going to be pleasing to other people as well. Now, it's not pleasing to those who have death as their aroma, who stink. Now, I shouldn't say that stuff because God loves those people too. And God would love their incense and their altar burnings to be of Christ. He would love that. He wants that. That's what he wants. This is why we spread the gospel. It's not for us. We don't spread the gospel to tell people just for fun or to benefit ourselves. We don't. We spread the gospel for God. So let's continuously do that. Let's spread the good news. Let's be that good aroma for God and let's be the good aroma for people. Now, I have three questions for you. There were a lot of verses today, so I'm not going to have you meditate on specific verses, except for the ones that we talked about. Meditate on the aroma. Meditate on who you are, where your identity is, and then take it from there. Understand that if you are in Christ, you are a pleasing aroma to God. You've won too, because Christ won and beat death through his death and resurrection. Here are your questions. Number one, this is just a fun one. Is there a pleasing smell that brings back good memories? Is there? That one I talked about at the beginning brought back a really good memory. There are a lot of other ones too, like certain cookie smells or like cake smells or campfires, etc. There are a lot of good smells. Just think back to one. Let's get into a good mood, right? Like if you're not in one, let's think of a pleasing smell that you're like, oh, I remember that and it reminds me of this, right? Is there a pleasing smell that brings back good memories? Question two, how does it feel to know that setting your identity in Christ is a good aroma to God? And then finally, how can we be pleasant aroma to those who do not set their identities in Christ? Folks, thank you so much for joining in. I would love to pray and close this out here. If you could take your prayer posture, if it's safe to do so, let's do that. Talk to God. Our Father in heaven, thank you so much for your sacrifice for us and through Jesus Christ. We thank you for being that altar incense, that sacrifice, that burning, that is such a pleasing aroma to you that can give us all eternal life. We know that we want to be pleasing aroma to other people too. We want to be in Christ. We want to have that joy, hope, peace, and love so that we can spread that to everybody. We don't want people to be depressed. We don't want people down. We want people to see what it's like to follow you. We want people to see that loving Christ is so good and so amazing and so joyful and so hopeful and so peaceful and so everything good that they have no other choice but to do the same. We thank you for continuously freeing us from all those things that we do, all those other incense that we burn, all those other animals that we sacrifice figuratively and maybe even literally that we did that were not for you, that were either for self or for rituals or for whatever. We thank you for forgiving us for those things, that we don't have to do that anymore, and help us understand that. Thank you so much for keeping us away from those things, for helping us understand, for giving us the wisdom so that we can continuously love you and love people. We thank you and we praise you and ask all this in Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen.